Lord, help us to adore you in truth. May our lives be laid before you in adoration of the one true eternal King who has come. So we commit this time to you now, Lord Jesus. It's yours. Would you use it for your glory? Be exalted in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome to our midnight service. And by that, I mean we have until midnight. That's why we've scheduled it at 6:30. So I'm excited to preach. Is anybody else excited? Now, I'm excited that we want tomorrow morning to come. And I remember those days when I was eager as a young boy, eager for the next day to come. I'm excited. When will I be able to open? Can we please, the question that we keep getting asked is, can we please just one? Anybody else had that question? And you might be wondering, if you're wondering, I don't know why you're wondering, what am I referring to as the one? Just one gift, please, Daddy. Well, that eagerness ought to go towards what gift? It ought to go to Jesus. So we need to do what we can, brothers and sisters, to right our perspective, to right our attitude. So we're going to consider some things tonight. And Pastor Paul read a text that's very important. And we're going to look at a portion of that text tonight. I'll try to keep it under 6 hours. To whom was the gospel first revealed? Think about this with me. It was revealed to Mary and Joseph. And they're two characters that have a very, very important place in this whole nativity scene, right? God shows up, reveals himself first to Mary, then to Joseph. They are privy to some amazing, more than amazing, that is the understatement of the year, the incredible, unbelievable good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was also the shepherds. Who were the shepherds? And we talked a little bit about this a few years ago. The shepherds, we focused on them. They were the outcasts of society, the dirty ones, the ones that were weathered with the sun beating down on them day in and day out. They didn't know what it was like to sleep indoors. They would sleep with the flock. They were outside. They were stinky. They were the ones you wouldn't expect the good news to be proclaimed to first. Yet they were among the privileged, weren't they? The privileged was Mary and Joseph, that poor young couple, the shepherds, the ragtag group on the outskirts of town. They were tough guys, shepherds, the lowliest of low, the bottom of the rung, really, and in some ways the absolute dirtiest of society. Then there was Simeon in the temple, right? Simeon, who had been waiting, and Anna, two people who had been waiting, and they recognized Jesus. But there was another group that got to hear of the good news of Jesus Christ. And what group was that? It was what's known as the wise men, the magi. And that's the group we're going to look at tonight. So if you have a Bible, you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 2. In Matthew chapter 2, this is how it starts. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, who was Herod the, quote, king? Anybody know who Herod was? He was not the king of Judea in the lineage of David. Herod was a king in Judea put there by the Romans. He was selected, if you will, by the Romans. Julius Caesar. In fact, Herod really didn't even have a Jewish background other than a father who had converted to Judaism. So he had some familiarity with this people in Judea. Herod, the king, appointed as king. He was ruthless, this Herod was. And you get a taste of it in the nativity scene. You get a taste of it. Anybody knows anything about the first few chapters of the Gospel of Matthew knows what Herod is like in the killing of a few children, right? That's Herod. He was lifelong friends with the general of the Roman army, Mark Antony. And this is why he was such a powerful person and was able to become king, really. And his cruelty was much like the Romans who supported him. That's Herod, quote, the king. You can almost hear Matthew put, quote, air quotes around that statement, Herod the king. Because in this story, who is king? Help me out. Jesus. Behold, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, it says, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Wise men. Now, we say wise men. You might say magi. Some have interpreted this whole thing to be as kings. These were kings from the east. Magi, it's really the Greek word magi there. That gives us our word magic. These are men who, they were the intellect from the east. They were the people who looked at the stars and studied the stars to figure out what was going on. Were they Persian? We don't know. Some have concluded, well, they were Persian. How long had they been traveling to get there? Do we know the answer to that? We have no idea. It could have been up to 2 years that they were traveling. Likely, could have been up to 2 years. Why do we think that it was 2 years? Because when they tell Herod, the star appeared, he ends up killing all the kids on 2 years and under. So it's likely that the star appears 2 years ago. How many wise men were there? This is a question that can be asked, but we don't know. The reason we think three, the reason why that's the traditional answer is because they have three gifts, right? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Why did they want to honor a king of a foreign nation? And really, what was the nation of their birth? These questions all are not answered in the text that we have. All we know is that there were magi from the east who came to pay homage to this king. Here's what it says. So stay with me. Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Why would these wise men go to Jerusalem? Because you and I, we know where was Jesus born? He was born in Bethlehem, but these wise men came to Jerusalem. What's so special about Jerusalem? Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. It's the capital of Judea, if you will. Not the Roman understanding of that area, but the Jewish understanding, Israel, Jerusalem. So for the wise men, they go to the capital city. Well, of course, that's where the new king will be, in Jerusalem. Do you see? So they came to Jerusalem saying, where is he? Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? They have knowledge about what's going on, and they're confused. What is their confusion? Why are they confused? Where is he? They're confused because what's life like in Jerusalem at this time? It's everyday life. It's normal. Nothing's different. Everything's going on as usual. Things are functioning. You know, the town squares happening every day, day in and day out. Nothing's different. Move along, please. Let's take your taxes. Let's do this. Okay, you have fish importing. You're doing that. And everything is normal. And the magi say, where is he? Aren't you celebrating? Aren't you excited? Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose. We've come to worship him. I want you to consider the boldness of the Magi. Where did they go? They go to Jerusalem. They're proclaiming this news. And what do we know about this century, the first century, the beginning of the first century? What do we know about insurrections and things and messiahs that come up? And when there's someone who claims to be the Messiah, what does Rome do? They off them. They get rid of them. They remove them from power. The Magi come from the east, possibly a 2-year journey. They get there and they say, where's the guy? We heard that the Messiah, the king of the Jews, has come. And they say it loudly enough so that Herod, the king of the Judea, hears. But they don't care that he hears. They don't care that Romans hear. Because they want to meet the king who is to come. You say, so what? Well, it was often not uncommon that someone would rise up and say, I will be the next king, I'll be the ruler, and it would take a couple days and Rome would remove that person by death. And these wise men from the east, do you think they want to rouse anything up? Do you think they want to get involved in some international battle in Israel? They don't seem to care though, do they? So the first thing that I'm looking at when I see this text is, boy, they are bold to say this loudly. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled. He was troubled. Herod was. Why was he troubled? Herod the king. Is there a king? Is there something to what they have to say? Tell me, scribes. Tell me, what don't I know? Now Herod, by the way, was at the end of his life. He was dying at this time. He's getting up in years. He had a disease. It was not good. And he's troubled. But notice who else is troubled. Look at it. It says, when Herod the king heard this, or look at me. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. That's odd. Did the religious leaders like the fact that Rome had appointed a puppet king over them? No, they didn't like that. In fact, they were waiting for the Messiah, the king to come. God is going to restore the lineage of David. He's going to sit on the throne, and we're going to take back what's rightfully ours. But it says all Jerusalem was troubled. Don't rock the boat. Don't rock the boat. We like our prosperity right now. We like the peace. We like being able to just function as normal. We like things happening like no big deal. We like this. What are you doing? Don't mess it up. Wise men have come to do what and for what reason and what haven't we heard? And all Jerusalem with him. You see, there's a contrast already in our text. The Magi, or those wise men from the east, are seeking the king that Jerusalem is afraid to meet. The wise men in the east are seeking the king that Herod, the puppet king, wants to not meet and make sure nobody meets. See the contrast? And assembling all of the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Well, where is the Christ to be born? What are they talking about? Do you hear it? He's getting up in years and he's getting a little senile and what's happening? I don't understand. And assembling the chief, he goes to the chief priests. You're the religious leaders. You know what's going on, don't you? The scribes, the Sanhedrin, if you will, the elite, the scholars, the religious folk. He inquired of them, theologically speaking, where is the Christ to be born? I need to know this. Where's the Christ to be born? They told him, well, it's in Bethlehem of Judea. That's really kind of how they sounded, I think, except they had a Hebrewish, Greekish sound. They told him in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. Now, this is just remarkable. The religious leaders knew where he was to be found, yet where were they and who did they not want to meet? They were in Jerusalem, happy as things are. Don't mess it up. We know that there's supposed to be a king and he's supposed to be born there, but we're not going there. We're troubled about this news. There's a full-on, in other words, a full-on rejection already. They told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. They have the knowledge to know. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, now they're quoting from their scriptures. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Now you can almost hear the wise men outside this meeting wondering, where exactly is he supposed to be? And they overhear this and then they go, boom, that's right. That's what their scriptures say. Now, where did the Magi learn of all this stuff? How did they know that the star would mean anything about anything? These wise men from the east, we conjecture about this, but a good theory is that they learned of it in the Persian Empire, likely through Daniel's influence. Daniel was a very influential Jew that lived in the area that we think they were from. And with him came his scriptures, we're told. And he taught many the Jewish scriptures. And so wise men, this is probably among the books that they would have read. And so they're reading the different prophecies about who? Jesus. These wise men are reading, inquiring, learning, and growing, and trying to figure it out. And they're the ones seeking. And Jerusalem, it's secondhand knowledge to them. And what are they doing? Rejecting. Do you see the contrast? Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. When did that star appear? I'm just curious. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. The king, Herod, wants to worship the king of the Jews. Right. After listening to the king, they went on their way. So they're like, as they go, they're wondering, okay, well, we're going to get to this outskirts town, you know, up in this area of the country we don't know much about. We don't know much about any place around here. We hardly know the language around here. How are we going to communicate with a bunch of hicks in that region? And then what do they see? How will we know where to go specifically? I mean, I know we're supposed to go to Bethlehem, but then what? They went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. They see the star again. And at this, are they excited? All right, there it is. All right, let's keep going on our journey. No big deal. No biggie. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Who could see the star? The Magi could see it. But who else could have seen the star? Anyone in Israel could have seen the star. Yet there were this small group of wise men from the east who saw the star, beheld it, and rejoiced exceedingly. If no one will declare the glory of God, the stars will. If no one in Israel is willing to say, the king has come, the stars will shout it. And those who are willing to see it will see it. Do you see? It came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. You could hear them if you were near them. What are those guys shouting about? And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. They fell down and worshiped him. They paid homage to him. This is more lavish than what we would expect. You know, you might expect, wow, you know, they were in awe. This little child is the king of the Jews. But the way they treat him, think about this. Have you really thought about the Magi? Think about the way they treat this baby in a foreign nation who's supposed to be a king of a foreign nation. It's a baby, and they fall down and worship the baby. Why? Why in the world would a bunch of people from a foreign land come on this possibly 2-year voyage, come to a baby and bow down and worship the baby? Do you understand? In bowing down, they're saying, you are my protector. You are the one that has all of my allegiance, and I know that you will protect me. That's what it means to bow down. I give my life over to you. You can cut my head off. And it's asinine that they do this before a baby, no less a baby of a foreign nation. Do you see how crazy this is? So for the first readers, or even those that Mary and Joseph, they would have looked at this and thought, what on earth is happening? Yes, he's the Messiah of Israel. And yes, he's the next king. I got it. I mean, we got that word, but why are you here? What are you doing? Well, no one else is coming, are they? And you know the difference between the Magi and everybody else that knows about the good news at this point? The wise men actually sought this out, whereas everybody else were sought out. It happened upon the rest, whereas the wise men were like, hey, look at this. Look at this moment in Numbers. They're reading Numbers. Look at this. Look at what it says Balaam said. The star will rise. The scepter will come out of Judah. Hey, what does that mean? And we just saw that new star, and now they started to search diligently, and they are actually searching out and learning of and pursuing Jesus. That's remarkable. Consider the wise men. Consider the wisdom of the wise men. They likely read Numbers 24:17, Psalm 72:10-15. They likely read Isaiah 60:1-7, Ezekiel 34. They looked at these scriptures and thought, my, oh my, the king has come. But what did they grapple with? What did they understand about this king? He's different than other earthly kings. He's got a different kind of kingship. Now, this is why I think wise is a good word to describe them, the wise men. They risked everything for a king of a different people. Do you think it would have been easy to go on a journey like that in that day? I suspect they would have looked like shepherds by the time they arrived. They would have smelled like it, and they would have fit right in. In submitting to him, they acknowledged something remarkable, how a baby, this baby is worth worshiping. It's remarkable. It was the ultra-religious who ultimately missed it. In fact, they didn't just miss it. They knew. Yeah, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. They rejected it. Which group? The religious. It was the wise men from a different religious background, a different faith, a different everything, a different culture, who had eyes to see. And that should cause us, Christian, living in a Christian nation, to lean forward and to consider this. Now, I'm certainly not saying that the wise men, because of their false religion, knew Jesus, but they had eyes to see, didn't they? And Matthew starts his gospel letting the Jews know it was the Gentiles who came first. It was the Gentiles who first came. Strip the whole story back. He is the fulfillment of all time, of all nations, of all people. He's the one the world is longing for. And we, I think, are at risk of missing what Jesus is even today, you and I. Notice how familiar the scribes are to what the scriptures say. They're familiar with it. Well, this is how it is. This is what the scripture says. They know precisely where he's going to be born, and they respond. And Matthew's, the way he records this, is as if no time had elapsed. Well, go ahead and tell him he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. What's the next question? They were familiar, so familiar, Jesus was no longer important. They're not interested in looking to see if the Messiah has come because they already know the answer. Next, it's familiarity that is a problem. And that's a problem for us. We're at risk of that. Are you so familiar with Jesus that you're not struck with awe of the idea that God became man? He came to this world. Or are you blown away by that truth with me? Please, we need to hold each other up here. God Almighty became a man. Is it so familiar to you that it's just like one more year? All right, next present. Now we got to stay up late because the pastor keeps talking. Wrap in the gifts. They need to get wrapped. Come on, come on. Come on. I want to ask all of us this question. Are you so familiar with Jesus that you are no longer eagerly longing for him? If so, there's more hope for the lost among us. God Almighty led the Magi to Jesus Christ. So look around you. Look at Jesus. And proclaim Christ to the nation around us, to the world around us. Familiarity is a problem. Fear is also a problem, isn't it? Herod was afraid, and all Jerusalem was afraid. I don't know. I don't know about Jesus. If I turn to Jesus, then these things have to change. I'm not ready for that. Ugh. I know that there's something happening in Bethlehem, but we're just going to put our head in the sand. Or we'll do the Herod thing and try to rid him out of our life. Let's kill him. I don't want any religion in my life. I don't want any religious folk. I don't want anybody talking to me about Jesus. Let's just have Christmas. Yeah, great irony in that. Familiarity, fear, or will you allow Christ to find you? Or rather, would you look for him? He will be found if you open your eyes. Have you found him yet? You think you're too lost. Listen, the Magi were lost until they found him. They were wandering, lost, until they found him. That's part of Matthew's purpose in telling this. They didn't have it. They were from far away, and they came, and they found him. Who were those Magi? They represent the Gentiles, but I suspect that they are kind of a vapor on the story here, because we're not meant to worship the Magi. We're meant to worship the one they came to worship. And we can get wrapped up in figuring out the Magi and miss Jesus. Don't do that. We can get wrapped up in other things and miss Jesus. Don't do it. Look for Jesus. He's there. Let him be found by you. Would you pray with me? Oh, Lord, we ask that you would open our eyes. Show us the sky, the star that will light you. We know that you are the bright shining star, the morning star. So we pray that we would look for you and find you. We ask that you'd help us to not reject you and turn away from you. We pray that there would be joy in our hearts just on the thought that you came and that you are ready to be found by us. We pray that you would not be so familiar in our homes that we miss the wonder and awe of who you are. We ask that you'd help us to not be afraid of the implications of turning to you, but rather that we would just be overwhelmed with a longing to know you and worship you. So do that in us. Would you do that tonight in our homes and tomorrow and the next day all week? Let us be enamored with you and you alone. Be pleased. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. Now don't forget to seek Christ and to seek after Christ in the next few hours, next day, this year. Let's be a people looking and longing for Jesus Christ, the King of all kings and Lord of lords. Amen. You're dismissed.